every Arizona homeowner's best friend for 30 years.
And it all has to do with you.
Thanks for tuning in.
It's Rosie on the House.
Yeehaw!
Good morning, y'all.
Pretty day for a ride.
Saddle up.
Join us here, Rosie on the House. Next 4 hours, we have it jam-packed for you, the Arizona homeowner. Here it comes.
I'm happy and I'm free.
Woo!
Just listen to the wind.
What a great way to wake up on a Saturday morning. A little Marshall Tucker singing about riding across the beautiful Arizona plains. That's the way we like to get you going every Saturday morning here. Your weekend wake-up call. Every Arizona homeowner's happy place. Saturday morning tradition for 30 years where I throw open the doors to my house and invite you in for a cup of coffee and a little four-hour chat. Here with my son, Romy Romero, my co-host, my sweet wife, Miss Jennifer. Good morning,
good
everyone.
Good morning.
And, of course, our broadcast engineer, Mr. Gary D. We're going to be talking a little bit later in the show, in the 10 o'clock hour, about summer backyard strategies and what you might be able to do here getting ready for the oncoming summer that maybe you've been suffering through a backyard that wasn't quite as amenable to your festivities as you'd like. So we're going to talk through some shade strategies. 9 o'clock hour, of course, is open line, where if you've got a project or a question about anything having to do with your house, home, castle, or cabin, regardless where it's located in the great state of Arizona, we take that call, and we take that call toll-free. You call in and talk to us about what you're trying to get done, and we put our 40 years of Arizona home building and remodeling experience to work for you. 8 o'clock hour, we've got John J. Harper coming in, and I guess there's a camera down at the Tucson Botanical Garden on a plant called Rosie.
You bet you can see it on our Facebook page. It's live. They're waiting for it to open, and it's
this plant like blossoms like once every 10 years or something.
And it's the corpse flower. I don't know why they named it Rosie.
Okay.
But apparently, it doesn't smell very well either. I think that's where it gets its name from.
All right. So we'll be visiting about that as well as any question you might have about your landscape, hardscape, irrigation, trees, shrubs, or plants. In the 7 o'clock hour, as y'all know, we get to rule the show and do whatever we want to do. And as Jennifer and I were traveling this past month, I would just catch articles of things that were going on in the sky that were grabbing my interest. And I'd just tear them out, put them in my pocket, and said, when we get back, we've got to get Dr. Sky on to visit with us about everything that's going on in the sky. So we have him here with us this morning. Y'all need to know, just because I control the conversation at 7 o'clock hour, you're welcome to join us and jump in the conversation if you'd like. If you have a question for Dr. Sky, you feel free to give us a call, 1-888-767-4348. Dr. Sky, thanks again for joining us, man.
And good morning, Rosie and company. Good to be with you. And that must have been some exciting trip there in Europe. How about that?
It was a really fantabulous trip. We're going to be putting some Facebook for a country that's got masonry castles and fortresses thousands of years old. A lot of the things that are built in the last 50 years aren't going to last another 10. It's unbelievable.
Wow.
they just tack it onto the side and prop it up with a 2x4 and hope for the best.
But there you go.
We'll be talking a lot about that in the coming weeks. But, you know, I started peeling articles out. And, I mean, going backwards, was it just yesterday SpaceX launched? What was that?
Just a couple of days ago, Rosie, another great successful launch of the Falcon 9 rocket. I mean, it's amazing. I have to scratch my head, and maybe many of the listeners do too, that here's this young man, an entrepreneur, Elon Musk, who's had such great success, maybe not so much on the car side. I mean, some of the controversies with some of the different vehicles, but talking space, they successfully launched another of the many spacecraft, the Falcon 9 series. And they launched this brand new spacecraft called this Transiting Exoplanet Survey Satellite called TESS. And what it's going to do, simplest way, Rosie, is it's going to search for other planetary systems around other stars. 30, 40 years ago, we would have thought that to be the most amazing science fiction thing you could even talk about. We know of so many planets here in our solar system, and some controversial, like the Pluto decision to make it a dwarf and maybe a big one lurking beyond that. But this one, specifically, until the James Webb telescope, that's an even bigger and more advanced telescope than the Hubble, it's going to be able to identify within, I would say, well, maybe a couple of hundred or 200 light years, what planetary objects lie around other stars, totally sci-fi-ish, about the size of a refrigerator, weighs about 800 pounds, so SpaceX did it again. They put it in orbit.
So other than people like you that are just absolutely intrigued and passionate about what's going on in the sky, someone had to put a considerable amount of dollars into this ship to launch it. What are we going to do with this extra planetary exploration information?
Well, I think for future generations, it's like investing in the future. Just like when you talk homes, we're going to put some money into this baby and we're going to improve it, because not only is it going to give us a better living situation, but it'll obviously increase, hopefully, in value for future, you know, purposes. But for spacecraft like this, this may seem very esoteric, even this early in the morning, to talk about who's the one behind it. Well, NASA's the one behind it. But I think what we're going to see, Rosie, back in the year 1995, the first detection of an extrasolar planet came about. And that's not that long ago. I mean, I can simply think
back that
short time period. But the bottom line is this. We're looking at this object or series of objects in space where we call them habitable planets. And for those out there in this early morning, when they wonder about what's beyond planet Earth, let's hope, because of the things that go on this planet, a lot of good. But since a lot of times we can't get along with things called war, who knows? Maybe there's civilizations out there. So the bottom line is we're looking to explore what the reality would be, or the closest possibility for Earth-like planets. And that may sound a little narcissist. Maybe we're looking in the wrong place. Maybe there should be planets that are not like Earth, and maybe they're habitable. But it's a long-term investment.
All right, so SpaceX. And then there was big news out of our own little Lowell Observatory discovering a runaway star. What's a runaway star?
Rosie, I got to start this way. If you look at the Milky Way, we're about a 200,000 light year across object, this big disk of stars we call the Milky Way. And remember, Rosie, I love saying this on your show, that when people look at the speed limit sign on the freeway, and of course, we always push the limit, whether you go higher above that, that's your business, but hopefully not too much lower. Just remember, folks, the speed of light, you've heard 186,282 miles per second. That means nothing to me. When I was in college, I remember scratching my head. So it's simply that 760 million miles an hour would be what would be on the signpost. So a star that's a runaway star. Around our galaxy, there are two smaller satellite galaxies. And astronomers at Lowell have detected one of these yellow supergiant stars, an unusual star unto itself, in which somehow, in these little satellite galaxies, the gravity pressure of one of those small satellite galaxies has basically warped time and space and pushed it out, almost like a little pneumatic air gun would push a little BB out. So we have stars that are traveling, get a load of this, 300,000 miles per hour. That's incredible for stars. So the galaxy, and there are probably many more of these, but the point is it's a runaway. It's not following the orbit of the galaxy. It's kind of cutting through and shooting out, doing its own thing. Totally incredible. A whole new series of star classifications.
So Lowell discovered this star, or they're just tracking it? I mean, it's like 10 times the size of our sun?
Oh, yeah, and to be a supergiant or a giant, you would have to be. And think of it this way. The sun's 865,000 miles across. Scratch your head. 109 times the diameter of the Earth. So this particular star, Rosie, we're talking literally maybe billions of miles just across, which means it would envelop a good part of our solar system. But yes, they actually just detected this, and not necessarily right at the Lowell Observatory, because you can't see the small and large Magellanic clouds. You have to be in the southern hemisphere. So they're tracking this object, yes, and they're noticing something. It's like one of those runaway objects on the freeway. But in this case, somebody would be going so fast, like 10 times the speed limit, 100 times the speed limit, but they're not going along the freeway. They're cutting as if you had a highway that goes straight up from the bottom of the ground and up. That would be a bizarre sight. But the high speed of these stars, something is pushing and compressing space. So isn't that amazing on this early Saturday morning?
Well, now, Dr. Sky, when they say something's going to go supernova, what does that mean? What is supernova?
In the simplest way, Rosie, think of it this way. When you have your heart running fine and all of a sudden then somehow you have this amazing and sad event called some sort, in a minimalist way, a heart attack or something to do cardiac-wise, the sun is converting every second millions of tons of hydrogen into helium. And if somehow there's an interruption of that cycle, even for a trillionth of a second, what happens is the gravity pressure, to make it very simple this morning, literally collapses that object, in this case a star. And once all that implosion is felt at such a great rate and such a trillionth of a second of time, the entire internal mechanism in that star just gets overloaded, and I'm keeping it simple. What happens with all that gravity pressure is the star gets overwhelmed and it literally just explodes into space. And it's really thought, Rosie, that the entire evolution of stars, and even where we are here on the Earth, planetary systems may have formed from debris from these supernovas. So it may be an ongoing cycle. So the star violently collapses, its entire metabolism changes in like a trillionth of a second. And it's also thought that many of these binary stars that are out there, material either gets pushed or pulled into from the tiny one into the larger one, causing some of these violent changes. It's basically gravitational collapse happening in such a short amount of time, under incredible pressures, under incredible temperatures. Boom, there you go. You get a supernova.
So there you go, folks. Only at Rosie on the House are you going to learn about a supernova star that's 30 million years old, that's 9 times the size of our own sun, traveling 300,000 miles an hour. Thank goodness it's 200,000 light years away.
You got it.
More with Dr. Sky when we get back.